again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 259 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. We are back on the air this week. I'm joined by the returning Kenny.
It's good to be back.
And for the second time, the returning X, also known as Andrew.
Ah, great to be back. Thought I'd make another cameo appearance.
This is our first, a brand new trio, the brand new heavies, if you will, for this week's episode. It's good to be back on the air. We did miss last week due to some technical difficulties. Hopefully get Ben back on the show next week and beyond. Just some housekeeping notes before we get rolling. Actually, guys, I conducted an interview with Josh and Dave from Nemo Gamo this week. They're behind Basketball Classics, of course, so that will be out sometime in the next week or so as well. And I know we've discussed that game before, Kenny, and it was really cool to get an insight on that and to see how that game is shaping up.
I'm definitely looking forward to listening to it. I actually played a little bit of it last week, or maybe sometime this week. No, I think it was last week, actually. So, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing some insight about that game.
So definitely a great chat, and we talk about all kinds of old favorites and old basketball from back in the day. Very nostalgic episode, I suppose. So I definitely look out for that. But yeah, Rex, a lot of news to catch up on with Live 19 and 2K19, especially since we missed out on last week.
Yeah, definitely. There's been a lot of information coming out, as you'd expect, about less than now a early release in mid-September these days, so only less than a month out, so a lot of stuff coming through now.
Well, we're about a week away from the demo now, of course, so that'll be fun to check out. And we are, speaking of interviews, I have reached out to EA. We are trying to set something up as far as getting an interview. Hopefully we'll get to learn about some modes and things like that. I know we're all interested to hear about Franchise and Ultimate Team and that kind of stuff with Live 19.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any set date for when that demo is coming out?
That is the 24th, I believe.
Okay, so that's... what day is that exactly? Friday? Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, so basically a week away from when we're recording this, give or take. So it won't be long before we get our hands on the game and see how it's all shaping up. But in the meantime, of course, one of the things that has been released, apart from footage of the streets and talking about all the new features like female creator baller, of course, female creator player, had a lot of screenshots that have come through. And you know, Kenny, a lot of people have been saying for years that NBA Live has PS2 graphics. I think if you still say that these days, you need your eyes checked.
I played my PS2 recently, and I can say that is definitely not the case. The graphics on NBA Live 19 look pretty sharp.
Mm. Even better than some of the work in progress screenshots we got around about EA Play. Like Kevin Durant in particular is looking a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all the screenshots I've seen have looked really spectacular so far, particularly when put in comparison to NBA Live 18. So. No, it's good to see they're pushing forward with the graphical improvements. Let's just hope that it's the same with the gameplay as well.
And that is the big thing, is it not, X? The animations, as much as it's one thing to look great when the players are standing still, but to have them in motion and also the feel on the sticks is paramount.
Well, that's what I'm keen to see, especially in the demo, because the screenshots, they look great. Obviously, I wasn't expecting them to be that good. I was one of those Frostbite guys from playing a bit of FIFA, thinking they needed to move to Frostbite. And this is maybe they can do what they need to do this generation on the current game engine. So, but I'm very keen to see it in motion, because that's the main thing. But yeah, definitely impressed so far.
It does seem that Ignite plus this real player motion that they're sharing with Madden, it may seem to be the trick. What seems to be what they need to do to make that next big step. So definitely feeling optimistic about that. The other thing they've done, of course, is release a bunch of ratings, similar to what 2K has been doing. I know our good friend Leo was not happy with Luka Doncic's ratings. I haven't heard him so upset since Ben has made a dirty joke on 2K Prime chats.
He's obviously well and truly driving the bandwagon for Luka Doncic. So obviously I'm a big fan as well. I'm on the band too, as you stated. Overalls are just an arbitrary number, but they do provide a sort of an initial comparison value that people obviously grab. And I guess a lot of people take it as a slight if Carmelo Anthony or Dwayne Wade not an 86 or an 87 and,
yeah.
and the same. But yeah, so but it really depends how they play. But I from one perspective, from the overalls, some of them did seem a little higher, but that might just be based on how, I guess, live rating system calculates the overall as far as how it weights athleticism, stuff like that.
I mean, that has been a problem with live in the past, and I know that 2K has introduced the intangibles rating, which they can use to fudge overalls one way or the other. Maybe live needs to do something like that just to make it more aesthetically pleasing, if nothing else.
I see why they do it, but part of me, when you look at the attributes, I don't want to see those sort of fake ratings sort of bumped up. I've seen it with different games where a player's not good at something or they don't have intangible or potential, but it just gets ramped up just to increase the overall. So I'm a bit mixed on that, so I understand why they do it, but I'd prefer like a if they had like hidden ratings behind that aren't even used in the game, that's just in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's we saw a lot of that back in the day as well. Primacy and so forth. It was kind of, we have the top five players at each position, of course, that has been revealed over the past couple of weeks. Top five point guards, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, Chris Paul, John Wall. Sound about right, guys?
Yeah, more or less. Sorry, could you read out that order again?
That's Steph Curry 94, Russell Westbrook 93, Kyrie Irving 93, Chris Paul 92, and John Wall 90. Those are our top five out of the box, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say that's more or less right. I mean, one or two points here or there is not going to make a huge difference. It's just, as X kind of alluded to, it's just a number as a point of comparison, I suppose. So, as long as the tendencies are there, I think, ratings are just kind of a bit arbitrary to me.
And that's, I guess, where the dynamic DNA, or what used to be called dynamic DNA, comes in, the synergy ratings, definitely. Shooting guards, James Harden, 94, Klay Thompson, 91, DeMar DeRozan, 90, Jimmy Butler, 90, and Victor Oladipo, 89. Oladipo's really come on and become one of the top shooting guards in the league. So that seems to be appropriate that he's top five.
Yeah. Like when you think about shooting guards, even a year ago, I don't think many people would have had them in the top 10, maybe not even the top 15. So he obviously made a massive leap. And yeah, and I don't think there's a lot of shooting guards in the league with as complete a game on both sides. So I think it's fair as far as the placement, and maybe, as Kenny said, maybe it's a rating point or two here or there, but it's as far as being fifth best or thereabouts, it sounds about right.
And that Paul George trade actually working out for both sides, I guess, at the moment, in a way, moving forward. The Thunder have kept Paul George, obviously, and Oladipo panning out for the Pacers. So, yeah, it's, I guess, not often you see a deal like that pan out for both sides.
Yeah, no. So it was looking like it was going to be really bad for the Thunder. So I think we were all a bit surprised that Paul George stayed. But given he was so linked to the Lakers, but good on the Thunder and Sam Presti for sort of keeping him in the fold, and hopefully with another year on the belt, he'll have more of an impact. And I think with Melo gone, he didn't really fit. I think now it's going to probably work a bit better with the role players and Adams and that working in with those big two.
Got to mention the Kiwi, of course. Certainly.
Always.
A monster in the middle for the Thunder these days. You mentioned George. He is among the top small forwards in the game. LeBron, not surprisingly, the top-rated player in the game and small forward at 97, followed by Kevin Durant, 95. No real surprises there. Kawhi Leonard, 92. Obviously, not much of a season last year, but he's now with the Raptors. Paul George, fourth at 90. And here's one that's maybe a little bit controversial, our first really controversial one, Kenny, is Gordon Hayward is fifth best small forward. That's not controversial, but he's just an 85 overall.
Yeah, I can kind of understand that because he is coming off a fairly serious injury, so they might be a little bit hesitant to rate him, say, an 87 or an 88 or something like that. But at the same time, maybe underrating him a little bit considering how inflated the ratings are in these games at the moment. So,
and yeah. Kawhi obviously being a 92 overall coming off injury as well. He's up there. I mean, has been an all-star before, but that possibly a little bit inflated there and a little underrated for Hayward, perhaps. Arguably, anyway.
Yeah, but I think Kawhi is a bit more proven at this point. He has the finals MVP. He's arguably a top three player when he's fit. So, I can understand it more for Kawhi. I can understand why he's kind of in the 90s. So,
yeah, unfortunately, guys, Joe Ingles not in the top small forwards or shooting guards. So.
Perhaps by season's end, rating increases. You never know.
I did pick up a Joe Ingles card off the Ultimate Team just for you, Kenny. I picked that up. So.
Excellent.
You joined the club. I sacrificed what was my team to get him. it was actually quite fun.
Top five power forwards: NBA 2K19 cover player or standard edition cover player. Giannis Antetokounmpo is 90 overall. Draymond Green, 88, LaMarcus Aldridge, 87, Kevin Love, 87, and Kristaps Porzingis, 86. Kind of low ratings for some of those power forwards, especially Giannis. Do you think it's maybe a bit of a shot at 2K or something like that?
Maybe, but I'm questioning whether Giannis is actually a power forward. But that's another conversation, I suppose. But one thing I don't really agree with is LaMarcus Aldridge being rated a touch higher than Kristaps Porzingis. I would have thought Porzingis would have been higher than Aldridge as well.
Maybe his ratings have also taken a hit after injuries.
Perhaps, but yeah.
But he is that good. Yeah, that is surprising that the Porzingod is rated that low. Maybe up around the 88-89x, perhaps, for Porzingis?
I think an 88 is probably the right sort of spot for him. And if he sort of can make it through the season without injury, then possibly hit like 90 or something like that.
And fingers crossed, because he is a great young player, of course, that Knicks fans can... Knicks fans haven't always had a lot to look forward to in the past. It's going over a decade now, unfortunately, but he's definitely been a bright spot for them. So that has been a terrible injury for them to endure. And finishing up with we've got the rookies as well. The top five centers in the league: Anthony Davis, 94 overall. Joel Embiid, who was the NBA Live 19 cover player, of course, second at 92. Karl Anthony Towns, 91. DeMarcus Cousins, 90. And Rudy Gobert, 89 overall. And, of course, the Stifle Tower, another monster in the middle X.
Yeah. Like, he, I thought he was a little bit higher than... But obviously, he's a fairly good athlete and he's great defensively, but it's probably a little bit higher than I thought. I'd probably consider Kenny's guy, the Denver Nuggets center, ahead of him.
I definitely agree with that, yes. Although, defensively, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, but I was happy to see that Lyre didn't put Embiid as the top center. that would have been, because clearly Anthony Davis is the better player.
Yep,
so that's one of the critics. So they've got that right.
Well, I suppose thinking back, they haven't really ever really overrated their cover player that much, I don't think. I think even Vince Carter back in the mid-2000s, when that was perhaps more of a thing that would happen, wasn't the top player in NBA Live 2004, but it is good that they've rated that properly. And Anthony Davis, Kenny, definitely coming into his own as an MVP candidate and one of the best players in the league, center or otherwise.
Yeah, and he's probably going to be right up there again, particularly with DeMarcus Cousins not being in New Orleans anymore. He's probably going to have a lot more volume as far as scoring and whatnot. So, yeah, I think definitely top five candidate.
And just glancing at the rookies, they've also released some of the top rookies in the game. Top pick DeAndre Ayton for the Phoenix Suns is 84 overall. Marvin Bagley, the third, is 82. Luka Doncic is 81, which is tied with Trae Young. That's, as we said, not really to DeValor's taste on that particular one. Also 81 overall is Jaren Jackson Jr. Mo Bamba, 81. Michael Porter Jr., that's your guy, the Nuggets, Kenny, 80.
Yep.
Colin Sexton, 79. Grayson Allen, 79. Kevin Knox, 78. Is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 78. And Aaron Holiday, 77. So they've rated the rookies a bit more conservatively.
I think they usually do, don't they? Like, I think even LeBron back in the day was high 70s, and that was kind of high. Like
69
you know, during
overall,
that era.
69 overall. In
69?
He actually has...
Oh, wow. I misremembered.
Yeah, he has lower ratings than the unlockable Jermaine Dupri, actually, in that game, from memory. So,
wow. Okay.
Was he really that low? 69.
A lot of, because Live 2004 was the first time they went to the 0-99 scale instead of the 50-99. So a lot of, I don't think they really changed the way the overalls were calculated. So a lot of players were very low. Like there was players in the rated in the 20s and 30s and things like that. They've kind of brought it up, but all the rookies were rated really low. And yeah, Jermaine Dupri, the unlockable rapper, of course, was I think he was like 80 or 90 overall or something. So he was better than LeBron.
To be fair, I think high 60s were like the high 70s back then because I remember NBA Live 98. I think there were really only three players who were over 90 overall out of the box. So.
It has come up in recent years and it's been mentioned in the forum. A few people have noted that they really have boosted the overall ratings in recent years. I guess maybe players were kind of sick of booting up the game and finding out offensive awareness 37. Like, you think I just dribble it off my foot every single time? Come on now. So maybe they pandered it out a little bit, but they certainly have beefed up in recent years. It's very rare to see players, I guess, under 70, which makes the starting ratings for our my players look even worse in comparison when they're supposed to be these stars and they're 60 overall or whatever. It's quite funny, but those are the overall ratings. That have been revealed. They're still putting through screenshots. And again, guys, just the game looking really good so far.
Yeah. I guess you'll have more comments in a week when we get our hands on the live demo with the real player motion. I think that's the thing I'm most interested to see.
Absolutely. It seems like some really good tech's gone in and hopefully the modes are up to scratch as well. Speaking of extra features and modes and whatnot, we also got a glimpse of what's been called One Court customization, our One Court for our one player. Basically, we're able to create our own custom court this year. This was leaked in previous screenshots and previews that had mentioned it, but it was officially revealed in the past week or so. We'll be able to create our own court. We've got all kinds of customization features as far as colors, the lines of the paint and the colors of the lines, the colors of the paint. Paint splashes, custom graphics, all kinds of things you can put in there. You can customize the ball color, the rim color, all that stuff that we can basically have been able to do with a lot of stuff in 2K with our My Team and also 2K Pro-Am, of course. But what really excites me, Kenny, is the retro logos, because if they're in the game, that probably means they're an Ultimate Team as well. But to be able to create these throwback courts, and there's about two or three different Sonics logos from back in the day, the old Grizzlies logo. There's just a host of retro logos in the game, so it's great to see, especially since we won't be able to import our own graphics.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see all those classic assets, and I think the one court that really jumped out to me is like looking amazing was the Candace Parker one. I thought, yeah, that's the possibilities for customization really showed off in that one screenshot, and it's got me pretty excited about the possibilities in the game.
It looks cool, and we'll of course not only be able to design the Cortex, but shoot around on it, have scrimmages, have practices, shoot around, and 5-on-5 scrimmage, and also have private games on it with our friends, play with friends, and a live run on the court, which is, you know, putting it to good use.
Yeah, is it going to be like? Well, they probably haven't released the details, like with, I know with 2K Pro Am where you can, your court is used. With the live run with friends, would that be online or just with friends? Have they confirmed that?
I don't think they've confirmed that. As far as I know, it's going to be like an online local game, play with friends option. So if you set up a private session of live run with friends, you'll be able to run on your own court. I don't think you can do it with a random matchup. You can't do it like an open lobby or anything, but you can do it. Just get on there with an online game, set it up with friends, kind of like playing on our My Courts like we've been doing.
Okay. Yeah, no, so it's definitely a good start. Like, features like this probably don't appeal to me as much as I know it would appeal to Arcane. To him a lot more. Like, and I know I'm probably not doing it justice talking about now, but I think anything like this is a good improvement, and it looks like it's quite in depth for a first version, like a first year that it's in. Like, it looks like it's slightly more than bare bones.
Definitely, which I guess gives me a little bit of hope that they've put a little bit of that into every single mode. And again, the retro logos for Ultimate Team. I would imagine if they're in the game, they've got to be in there for Ultimate Team as well. You'd think otherwise it would just go to waste.
Yeah. I think that's probably where it would interest me more from Ultimate Team. And I was interested to see, it said you can choose a location from over 1,000 real cities from around the world. So
that's right.
I don't know if that's just a city name, I'm assuming.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're looking to add more and inviting people to ask for it, I guess, on social media. So if Newcastle's not in there, Newcastle and Brisbane, we can get on that and see if we can get that in the game. Well, I had Begley in the game as the audio last year, so who knows, you know, what can go into the game.
Yeah, so you think that audio will carry across? You will see more Begleys in Live 19?
Hopefully. I don't want to have to go with Bagley if I can avoid it. I guess that'll be the closest thing. It's better than Beasley. But both of which I have been called over the years by people who can't read what's on the bit of paper in front of them. Beasley or Bagley. But there you go. If it can be in the game, that'd be great. There's preset themes, of course, and we can have different floor materials from hardwood to polished concrete to asphalt, full court designs. As they said, no logo importing. They did ask about that on Twitter. A couple of people asked, and they mentioned that basically there wasn't time to implement the like a vetting system, Kenny, where they could approve and disapprove certain assets that people upload, and possibly in the future, but not this year because of the time constraints and everything on that. But, you know, seeing some of the things that people have put in 2K Prime over the years, it's maybe not... But maybe for the best, it may not be the worst thing that people can't upload their stupid designs to put on their courts.
I think it's definitely a smart move overall. It's just a shame because, like, really talented people like Ben won't be able to put their designs in the game. So from that standpoint, I'm disappointed, but I can definitely understand why they're choosing not to at this point.
Absolutely. And it's maybe in future years, but they will have to get that vetting system in there again, with 2K Pro Am, there was so many Rachel pictures got on the courts and other disturbing and rude things that got on there one way or the other. So it's you definitely have to have that. But it's overall, I think it's a good hook to have for the game. It's more depth that's being added to Live, which it really needs. I guess, guys, moving forward, we really want to hear about Ultimate Team and Franchise, and hope that a little bit of work has gone into there, that what Sean Grady said was right, that they all have received a little bit of love this year, and it could be that big step forward.
Yeah, definitely depth needed for Franchise mode, because at the moment, I'm not really sold on it, which is it's not a good thing, because I think in the past that has definitely been the hook for me. So yeah, I want to definitely find out more about the franchise mode.
So some good things for Live 19 so far. We hope more good news is on the way. As I said, we are looking to set up our interview with our developer interview with EA. It's just a matter of hooking everything up with PR, but they are interested and, you know, happy to talk to us, so that's good. Look out for that as soon as we can set that up. But we do have some more news on NBA 2K19. Before we get to this week's news, we do want to jump back a couple of weeks to the My League Online and MyGM blog, because you guys obviously really into those modes, and you've been doing what I've been saying I'm going to be doing for a couple of years now, which is to get back into franchise modes, but you guys have been playing the franchise modes, My League in particular, the last few years, and really enjoying that, but also having lots of thoughts, obviously. So, X, I know before we started recording, you had some thoughts that you wanted to share on the My League blog, which came out a couple of weeks ago and dropped a ton of information.
It was a massive blog. It was a massive blog. So I don't know how many words it was, but it took a while to get through. And I think that probably the most popular thing from it is My League Online. And I know a couple of years ago, I think a lot of people were hoping My League Online would be My League as it was just put online, but they obviously couldn't get it on there, and they turned it into like a fantasy keeper, which I don't think interested most people. So that sounds obviously great from that perspective. And the only thing I think they said they didn't add was training, which for me is not an issue because I didn't tend to use the training option in My League anyway.
Mm. I mean, it's if you're going to lose something, it's probably the thing you could drop. The fact that everything else is basically the same as the offline mode, it's huge, because, you know, that's what we were going to do that a couple of years ago, but that was going to be our feature instead of 2K Pro-Am, what we do every week. But when we found out that it was going to be the Fantasy Keeper League, Kenny, we kind of soured on the idea, and without the league expansion, of course.
Yeah, that was a bit of a disappointment, but I think it's definitely positive news that they are looking to bring a lot of the offline My League into the online. And one of the most exciting parts to me that I didn't think would necessarily interest me all that much was the introduction of the historical draft, like the historical draft classes. Yep. And I think what excites me the most about that is, like, particularly if it's online, say if we have like an online league, and we can like randomly do drafts after every season, and we can try and fit like these old school players into the new kind of basketball systems that are going around today. And I think that could be like really interesting exercise, because some people that went like really high in the draft, say like a Ralph Sampson, they might not go that high if they were like drafted today, because their skill set might not be as like adept in this in the current NBA. So
not as coveted. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the traditional bigs, perhaps, whether they would go, whether people would still value what they bring to the game. Like, you know, even a David Robinson, who had some range in his jump shot, but didn't really stretch the floor, for example.
Yeah, and all like the 90s power forward as well, and how that would translate into the current game as well. So I think there's a lot of really interesting scenarios that could play out with historical draft classes.
And of course, I was going to move on to something else, so definitely.
The only thing on historical draft classes is I'm hoping, like, potentially it could be really fun, but for me, I'd hope that the ratings and potential ratings are set up to reflect their abilities at the time of being drafted.
Absolutely. To draft a prime Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson or something on your team, that would be a bit OP. My GM.
Or what about
Go on.
I was just going to say, what about a scenario like a Sam Bowie or more recently Greg Oden? You know, two players that were kind of projected to have not so much Sam Bowie, but Greg Oden was definitely projected to have an all-star career, and you know, people even said he was like a once in a generation kind of a player before he broke down with injuries and whatnot. So I'd be interested to see how potential runs in those draft classes as well when it comes to those type of players.
Yeah, well, like I think, well, Billy was supposed to be good as well, but Odin, yeah, I definitely have those guys rated as they were at the time with actually Odin, good potential ratings, but obviously the hardiness or injury, whatever they call that attribute now, the durability, I'd obviously have that. That's going to have to be very low, and then it will just be a luck of the draw.
And having to weigh that up of yeah. having this potentially injury prone player that we know in retrospect was injury prone. Yeah, definitely. With my GM, that's changed this year. They're still having the story driven approach, but we talked about this, Ben and I, on the previous show. But you can now choose to play my GM without the story. You have a more traditional experience. I think that was a really good move, X. You know, not everyone was really a fan of the story, and obviously they need to have something to spice it up. But I think it's a good move, and I wish to do the same thing for my career, frankly.
Oh yeah. Like I probably don't have a lot of opinions on my GM because I didn't really jump into it in 2K18 because I wasn't that happy with the gameplay, so I just didn't really want to invest my time in any sort of franchise mode in that year. And I still prefer the My League model over My GM, but I do think it's a good model now that I've given it a go.
And of course, Kenny, My League itself has just all the slider adjustments that we're going to be able to make this year. It seems like we have access to pretty much everything in the engine, in the sim engine, which I think is a unprecedented move and maybe overwhelming to some with so many options. But as long as it's tuned properly, that's fine. But simply having that option, what we could do to actually change that if we don't like the simulated results, and even down to doing things like being able to change the award winners, override the award winners. It's really deep this year. And I didn't think they'd really be able to add more depth, but they've found a way. So it's, you know, I do have to tip my hat to that.
Yeah, the part about overriding award winners is a major improvement for me because there have been some absolute howlers in 2K in the past. And some of the awards I've seen won needed to be overridden for sure. But I think as far as the sliders are concerned, it's going to be an interesting task for our community to come up with like the most optimized sliders for, I guess, for the gameplay experience, because although everybody's got like their, you know, own personal preferences, it'll be interesting to see what the sliders are like to get the most realistic experience, I suppose.
A lot of testing, a lot of playing around, as you said, just to try and get the balance, a lot of simulating. But I guess it's better to have the options than not, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, to jump in, I think it's a great improvement especially for the people who just really get into it, really the dynasty heads. Obviously, part of me would want to do it. The other part of me realizes I've got a family and a job and a life, so I probably can't. So I'm going to have to rely on the community to probably put in the hard yards. And probably the good thing with the game coming out as early as it does is there's going to be like at least 6 weeks before the actual, or probably 5 weeks until the actual NBA season starts. So hopefully by that time, they've got an idea of the effect that each slider has, and there might be some decent sliders that can be imported. The good thing is, they said you can export all these sliders.
Yep.
Which is massive because you don't want to be. I don't think you want to be adjusting hundreds upon hundreds of sliders. If someone else has already done it. So I think little things like that, where they've actually thought about the user experience, I think that is definitely a good thing. Part of me worries they've made a lot of improvements, a lot of changes. I'm hoping it's not going to be too buggy because obviously it's a lot of a lot of improvements in the one development cycle. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Fingers crossed. And absolutely. I mean, back in the day, we'd have to write out all the slider sets and or take screenshots, and then people would have to do it manually. And with all the sliders, as you say, these days, just the momentous task of having to adjust them all manually from somebody else's listing. But prioritizing family and work over basketball gaming, what happened to you, X? You used to be cool, man. It's
yeah, it happens to all of us.
Hey, I'll have you know that I have 5 families in 7 cities, and they and I still prioritize my basketball gaming. Just kidding, people. Just in case you think I'm admitting something dastardly on air. So any other thoughts on my league, etc., before we move on to this week's news?
Only one last one is the mentorship. I just wanted to cover.
Yep.
Obviously, it sounds like a great addition on the surface, and I think at the very least it's going to be a solid addition, and they've actually thought about it. So I think the example they used is if you've got LeBron James, he sort of mentors Brandon Ingram. So if a similar sort of archetype, Ingram can maybe earn or badges that he doesn't otherwise have, which is a nice thing. Probably one thing which I don't think it's going to have, which I'd like, there's going to be some veterans that you might want to sign for like league minimum who might be like 38 years old, and in their prime they would have been great and had all these badges, but in 2K at the moment they'll have literally no badges anymore. So how are they going to mentor or help someone? I know in real life these people would be a mentor based on what their knowledge previously, but obviously I think that's asking a bit too much. But that's something I think I'd like to see in future, and I don't know if it's manageable, but it's just a comment I wanted to make.
Yeah,
that like Kendrick bringing Perkins probably isn't going to help.
Which, and that's a great point, is that they would have had the knowledge to impart in real life, and as you say, a lot of players brought in as veteran mentors and leaders on the bench there to not play a lot of minutes, but definitely affect the, hopefully have a positive impact on player development. But if they don't have those badges or attributes anymore, will it really make a difference? I guess it would be hard to retroactively implement that, but if they could find a way, that would be very cool. That would be very true to life and make it worthwhile bringing in those veterans to round out your bench.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, definitely. And I think that's something that will be one of the first things on the 2K20 wish list, assuming it's not in there already.
Yeah. Well, I guess that remains to be seen, but good news all around there, Kenny. I mean, if the gameplay is up to scratch, then 2K could be kind of back on track after we all felt that 2K18, well, you didn't get 2K18, but a lot of us who did felt it was a bit of a misstep.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's a step back on the right track. And with my league and my GM, it sounds like it's going to have more depth than ever. So that's really enough of a selling point for me as far as like, you know, my personal experience. So, yeah, hopefully it will be great.
Maybe even lit.
I was going to say that, but I went with great instead.
I went there. So, of course, gameplay is paramount. Gameplay is so important because unless you're going to simulate everything, you really need to enjoy your time on the sticks, on the virtual hardwood. We got our first gameplay trailer. This year's trailer is Take the Crown. That had was backed... Actually, backed by J-Rock. The song was by J-Rock, not Travis Scott, who curated the soundtrack. We will get to that shortly. It is the gameplay trailer. Shows players, highlights some cinematic angles. Basically, what they do every year with the trailer. A lot of people seem hyped by it. A lot of people saying it kind of looks like 2K18.5. What were your thoughts on that, Kenny? Did it work? Did it wow you? Did it blow you away? Was it lit? Hashtag.
Honestly, those trailers never really blow me away, at least not in the last 5 years or so. Oh, yeah, I can't really remember the last time I was really wowed by one of those trailers, so I'm probably the wrong person to ask, and I'm going to sound like a bit of a party pooper here, but yeah, didn't really do much for me.
You're stealing my poop thunder. If that's part of the Thunder because that's kind of my impression as well. I mean, I think it's fine. I think it's a well put together trailer. The highlights look great. I mean, animations have not been a problem for 2K in recent years or anything, so it's what I expected. It looks fine. None of my gameplay concerns can be addressed by that trailer. And I mean, the OMG trailer. Sure, a lot of us said OMG. When it came out for 2K14, because it was the first game on the generation, it was such a big jump in graphics X. But I see this kind of trailer, and it's a fine trailer. I don't want to dump on it too much, but at the same time, it doesn't address my concerns with gameplay because it can't. It's a trailer. I'm also the fact that I'm getting the game anyway to create content for it. I suppose I don't need to be sold on it. It's sort of what I do, being one of our primary content creators here on the site, but. I don't know, it's 2, 3, 4, 5 games into a generation, it's hard to really be wowed by a trailer like this, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, like, I don't think, I don't even know if I made it through the trailer, to be honest. That's pretty bad, so, but nothing against the trailer, but it's, as you said, the interest isn't there. The only thing I took away from it is the Giannis Euro-stepped dunk could be OP. In 2K19, so that's probably the only thing I took away from it. So apart from that, the graphics look less the same. So, and like for me, it comes down to whether I can make a layup this year. If I can make a layup with a guy. That I can make in real life, but I can't make in the game, then it's a problem. But otherwise, it was all right. But it didn't hype me. I don't feel very lit over it. So,
no. Yeah, I mean, I'm the same. I didn't feel negative towards the game after seeing it, but I didn't really feel hyped because it's like, okay, yeah, we know it's going to look pretty much the same as last year because we're 5 years into this engine and 5 years into this generation, so it is what it is. It's probably not going to be the next jump until we get to PS5, Xbox 2, whatever it is. We won't get that big jump, so it is hard to really be hyped up and be wow. There's no OMG, Kenny, because we've seen it before. We saw it last year.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, addressing that point about Giannis's Eurostep being OP. Everybody online is going to be shooting threes anyway, so I don't think that's going to be the case.
That's a good point.
Touché.
And to the point about the layups as well, it was revealed in the Game Informer article that it was a Band-Aid fix because of the motion system wrecked interior defense. So basically, there was a Band-Aid fix in place where layups were missed just to really cut down on the percentages. So it wasn't just us. It was the way the game was designed because of these last year's. The motion system wasn't really ready from what, and I've said that on a couple of previous shows and in articles and whatnot, it didn't really feel like it was ready to go last year, and clearly they had some problems with it. Mike Wong has admitted as such, and so, I mean, that, I think that's why they took away the layup meter, frankly, because otherwise we'd know that layups that should be going in are missing.
Yeah. Aren't they saying that they're putting it back in, though, this year?
This year they are. Apparently they're fixing those issues with the motions.
This is going to sound crazy, and I am saying this rather facetiously, just as, you know, a disclaimer, but you reckon that's because they've just taken over playgrounds? Because the playgrounds have got the layup meter?
Well, they were saying it before that, but, you know, I guess now it's all, that's a 2K brand thing now. They've got a shot meter on layups. Live doesn't, as far as I know. So then again, we don't really need it in Live either. We can make layups, so...
That's true.
Well, maybe not so much after the patch. They did nerf that maybe a bit too harshly, actually, last year. But
one extreme to the other.
I think that the main thing in Live was that they nerfed the user layups, but not so much the CPU layups on the harder difficulties. So when you had a really hard challenge in Ultimate Team, I was missing layups with Shaq while Damian Lillard was just getting in there at will on the other end and scoring. It's like, oh, come on. But hopefully they do polish up the gameplay properly this year. I mean, gameplay has been pretty solid in 2K over the years. We have had our gripes, but 2K18 did feel like a bit of a step in the wrong direction. Obviously, there's teething problems with the new player motion engine that they put in, but we are waiting for a blog about that.
Like I think 2K18 has been it's been discussed in length and is widely panned as one of the weakest offerings as far as gameplay that's from 2K, and even as you've seen, like the developers, some of the blogs and that, they've sort of come out and admitted issues. I don't know if you've been following Mike Wong. He's been putting a few tidbits on 2K19
At Baluba on Twitter. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So, like a few different things. So some things, like it's concerning because they're asking he's surveying people and you're wondering who's answering them and what type of players and whether it's for the best. But I guess we'll wait and see.
So it's damn casuals ruining the game. It just
I think. From what he's saying, it looks like there's a few things that hopefully are improved, but I think it's just a wait and see.
Always is, and of course we have the prelude coming out. I think that's the week before it drops, before 2K19 drops. But the big thing, of course, Kenny, is and you've mentioned this too, X, is that how different the prelude feels to the full version.
Yeah, absolutely, and. I think with last year's prelude, the big tell was the fact that we couldn't upgrade our players in it. So I'm definitely interested to see how they improve this year's prelude, if they do improve it.
I found I was from the prelude last year, I was actually the most hyped I've been about a 2K in years, and when I pre-ordered, when I got the copy, and it was a big disappointment when I went into a 5-on-5 game and it wasn't as good as how I felt the 2KU was on the prelude. Chris Manning and that had indicated on 2K on Twitter that the gameplay wouldn't change, but I guess he was talking from the build that was coming, was actually coming out. I just assumed it would be the same. So I got caught on that, and I know a few other people did, and I think I'd actually convinced a mate to buy the game based on the prelude, and then I felt bad afterwards.
Had to help him move just to make up for it, and not enough slabs of beer, not enough moving house to make up for 2K18. And people, a lot of people have mentioned that how it felt very different, even in the career section of it, that it was really hyped up, so it made you feel like you were really good at the game out of the box, and then you get to the actual main meat of my career, and of course you've got to pay. You spend a lot of VC to actually upgrade the player to actually be any good, so it did. I think a lot of people felt very deceived. So, you dodged a bullet, Kenny.
Yeah, I did, and we'll see whether they've improved this year. Because I actually put in my pre-order the other day, so I'm going to be buying 2K19.
Oh, well, really? It's
you and I, if no one else, I guess, Kenny. So,
I'm waiting for the demo, the prelude. But I'm not gonna. It's gonna probably be the first year in many years. I'm not gonna pre-order, regardless of how impressed I am. I'm just gonna probably just wait like maybe a week or two, and just sort of see, wait and see.
But you'll miss out on the 5,000 VC.
I should be able to make that up in 2 weeks.
Maybe. It depends if it's been nerfed again, but I suppose we'll find out. We are, of course, waiting for the gameplay blogs. Again, as you said, X, we're getting the tidbits from Baluba on Twitter, which is a couple of people have been compiling that in the forum. Thank you for that, guys. I haven't got your usernames off the top of my head, but you know who you are, and thank you. We do have another we have a My Team blog, actually, another blog and trailer that's come out. Big info dump, Kenny, on My Team. All three of us, I think, have spent time in my team and Ultimate Team, one or the other or both, in recent years. Again, a lot to take in from this blog.
Yeah, I'm just going through it at the moment. One of the interesting things I've found so far is that I think there's an implication that they are improving my team pack odds, which again I'm very skeptical about. But if that is the case, and I'm not just going to draw like a bunch of Jarnell Stokes again, then yeah, that's fantastic.
Oh, poor Jarnell.
I still want him to come to the NBL, you know, play for the Brisbane Bullets or something. That'd be great. But
he'd actually be on your team, you see?
He would be. He was actually on my team the last time he was in the NBA as well. He played for the Denver Nuggets very briefly.
You can go to the Bullets game if he comes to the NBL with the Bullets, and you can hold up a sign, Stokes is on my team, and like my team in the same way.
That would be so amazing.
You won't have annoyed a player as much since you called Joe Ingles Jingles. It's
Kenny and I both got on to Jingles. He wasn't happy.
yeah, he wasn't. I'm pretty sure he knew about me as well. Just a feeling, but
it's him. It's the guy. I'm not gonna be on your team anymore. But. It invites skepticism, doesn't it? Because we've heard about pack odds before, and we've seen them. I've done a video on it, pack odds versus a real pack of trading cards. I was actually surprised that it came out as well as it did against the real pack of cards, to be honest. But I think the thing that stands out to me, which is an overdue change and a logical one that Live is already doing, of course, is that throwback packs are actually going to have throwback content in them, like guaranteed throwback content, or there's going to be an option for it. I mean, it shouldn't be an option. A throwback pack should have throwback content, period, but at least that will be available in the game, because why else would you get a throwback pack if there's no chance of getting throwback content? I mean, or a small chance of getting throwback content. I mean, it's one thing to not necessarily pull the best retro players. I mean, I don't expect to get a Jordan very easily from a throwback pack, but I at least want my Cliff Levingston. If I'm spending my MT on a throwback pack, I at least want my Cliff Levingston or Marty Conlon. I mean, come on.
I was going to say Luke Longley, but it's probably more Levingston or even Judd Butchler, I reckon.
Oh, Air Judden, yeah.
it's been ridiculous the last few years, however long they've had the throwback packs. Like, you get like a small chance. Like, if you want a guaranteed throwback play, you've got to get what, like toppers or buy.
Buy a box
or things like that to get certain things. If you're buying a throwback pack, you should be guaranteed a player from one of those two teams that they have. It's common sense. It's not fair, and it's deceiving. It's been deceiving in the past that you haven't got that. As far as pack odds go, take it with a grain of salt, because as I've seen with Foot FIFA Ultimate Team and that which I've invested in the last couple of years, pack odds change not just between versions, not just between 2K18 and 2K19. The developers can and do change the pack odds during 2K19 or NBA Live 19, so you might get bad odds at the start, and then they'll realize that, and this is maybe me being a bit cynical, but they'll realize maybe people aren't spending enough, then they'll increase odds and get you to spend more, and then they'll reduce odds, and it does change, and I have seen it obviously not with Live or 2K, but I have seen it in other sporting Ultimate Team titles where it clearly dramatically changed during the single game. So that's why I say when they talk pack odds, take them with a grain of salt. They change during the year. So, yeah.
That's interesting. And I guess going back to the video that I made, I made that very late. I think it was up. I made that in the off season when the new game was coming out. So that maybe they'd change the pack odds then. So definitely something to compare, I guess, start and end of the year with that. But they are going to be pushing through new content, new inserts into packs, more different kinds of packs. And the other thing is locker codes. And they're treating this as a new feature, but this is how they originally did locker codes, so that's kind of BS. As well as the limited quantity codes, they're going to have the single-use codes that have the random reward drops. Again, they're saying this is a new feature, but that was how it was in earlier games in the generation. So that you can punch in the codes and get the random amount of MT or maybe a card or a couple of cards or something. But if I know my luck, Kenny, it's going to be 100 MT with the passive-aggressive happy spending message with it, because that seemed to be what I get all the time when they were doing that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that'll happen to me too. I just say get rid of them. That crap.
Yeah. You know what? I'll get. I'll get a pair of shoes.
Yep. Always. Yeah.
Yeah. I think with with the My Team, I like the new design of the cards. I don't know if you guys have looked at the art. It looks a lot cleaner, and yeah. So I like definitely like that. I know some people don't care about it, but I think it looks pretty good.
They look pretty sharp.
It looks, again, I thought last year's designs were pretty okay, and they reminded me of some of the cards that were from the mid-90s. This one's kind of more of a late 90s card design, and I do like it. It's, as you say, it is very sharp.
There's one feature I want to call out, one that I think is actually really great, and that's the fact that weekly challenges are going to accumulate and not disappear. So if you come into the game 20 weeks late, you're going to have 20 weeks worth of challenges to do if this blog is anything to go by. So I think that's really a good feature.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, that was the big thing with 2K's modes, as deep as they are. If you're a late adopter, whether it's trying to get into 2K Pro-Am, especially any online mode or the Playground or My Team, not so much franchise, but certainly modes like this where you've got to build up and so forth. If you're a late adopter, it can be a killer, and it's not worth doing it. I actually still haven't unlocked the Auction House X in because I had to. You have to get the weekly tokens, and when I went to do it, the weekly challenges, I had to pull a Michael Jordan to get it, so I couldn't do the weekly challenge to unlock to get a reward token and to unlock the Auction House. So the fact that it's going to accumulate, I think, as Kenny said, it gives you. Yeah, a lot of content to catch up on, and it may be daunting in some respects, but at the same time, you can start out easily, whereas before it was very harsh on late adopters.
Yeah, yeah, they shouldn't be punishing people for wanting to play the mode, because you don't necessarily want to step into My Team on day one, like, because you obviously want to pour your cash at VC into your My Player. I think been the case in previous years where you've almost had to choose what mode to play, whether it's My Career or My Team or My League or My GM. That's sort of jumping between the modes has been too hard with the cost of VC and things like that. And so looking at the blog, they have thought about it. They've spent a lot of time in implementing a few new things. Some things are obviously, I think, going to be really good. Some things we'll have to wait and see. I think, Kenny, what are your thoughts on the triple threat? Because I know this was similar to the mode you used to play a couple of years ago in My Team.
So was that like, what was that? It's like a 3-on-3, right?
Yes.
So I don't think that really sounds like an entirely new mode. I think that sounds like that Gauntlet one,
yes,
if I remember correctly. I mean, yeah, I think that's fine. I haven't really read that part because, I mean, it didn't really kind of grab my attention as far as, like, the subheadings were concerned. Because, like, I'm kind of a bit of a skimmer when it comes to these kind of articles. But, the game implies... Sorry, I'm just...
Oh, no, well, let me fill you in while you have a bit of a thing. From what I understood is you can either, it's called triple threat. You can either play 3-on-3 against the CPU or 3-on-3 or against online, as similar to what Gauntlet was. And I think with the modes, they give you a certain number of games, and you got to, maybe it's like 10 games or whatever, and you got to win as many as you can, and then you get these they're like tokens or reward tokens, and every I think you can use that to obviously get better players and things like that. So I think that's where I think a lot of people are going to be playing the modes.
The reward tokens can be earned throughout the mode this year instead of just the challenges, and there's a token market where you can trade them in for other things or trade the tokens in for other stuff. You can either use them to buy packs or trade them in for rewards, so they've kind of expanded that this year as well. So it's and obviously with Triple Threat and Triple Threat Online and My Team Unlimited, just a few more ways to play.
So they have three forms of currency now.
They do, yes.
Oh my god. Can I cancel my pre-order?
Oh no, that's just in My Team. So if you're not playing My Team, yeah, just
if I get 2K, I will eventually play My Team. It's an inevitability. So I'm not canceling my pre-order, but the three currency thing sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, I think it's their way of rewarding people that play the mode regularly, or play it online. That's what I took from it. That it's just a way for people to be able to build up their collection or get better cards without having to buy packs.
And that's fair. I think because a lot of people might feel inclined to buy packs with VC, and then if they, through that, they can get the better cards because they're buying more VC, and with more VC, they get more packs. And then with more cards they get, they can put those on the auction blocks, and if they get really good ones, they can sell them for more MT. So, they could potentially get a lot of MT without really playing all the modes, so I can understand the token system in that sense, but it just sounds confusing to me.
I was chatting briefly to Vela about it, and he wasn't that interested in what 2K were trying to sell. I think from his perspective, he would prefer the My Team and the card modes, like, to be to not have so many, what I understood, not as many gimmicks, just have more the traditional sort of My Team. And but I think people expect more and things to try and hook you in. So
yeah, absolutely.
But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Like if I end up getting 2K, I'll give it a look. But I've been a bit soured on the mode the last year or so with pack odds and getting diamond shoes and stuff like that. So, but we'll wait and see.
This year you'll get Stokes and Kenny will get the shoes. So that's just to swap it, and I'll continue to not get retro players even in the packs that I'm supposed to get them.
But would Stokes count as a throwback player now?
Oh, he'd be pretty close to it.
Don't give them ideas. So, the other thing they've got is daily trials in the form of stat-based objectives every day. So it looks like they really want to push through new content every day to keep people hooked on the mode, or reward people who are really into the mode and want to play that every day. But the big thing is going to be able to make it accessible to people to pick up at any time. Like you said, X, trying to juggle a few modes throughout the year, it's tough, and sometimes you get into a mode or you get sick of it. If you get sick of My Career, okay, what else do I want to play? I want to take a break from my league or whatever. So you hit up My Team, and then if it's hard to get into it, it's just a real turnoff. So to have these weekly challenges, as you said, Kenny, from the start, and daily trials all and all the reward tokens. Hopefully it'll pan out to be that people feel rewarded and that they're getting new content every day. And of course, collector levels are back. You guys got really high in the collector levels in 2K17, didn't you?
Yeah, I got fairly high. I can't remember exactly what my high point was, but definitely in thousands.
You got up there, did you?
Oh no, maybe not in the thousands. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to boot up the game again. Are the servers still running for 2K17? I'm guessing that'd be shut
down. Yeah, I think it's end of this year that they get shut off.
Okay, that might be worth revisiting at some point.
I've been thinking about it. I want to play a bit more of my career of that and see.
it's good they've brought collector levels back. I'd like to see more than one player card per pack. Otherwise, you're going to have to buy thousands of packs to finish collection.
I think that is something that Live definitely does better in Ultimate Team, is that you do get the multiple players per pack, usually at least two, I think. And what is it? It's really only the special packs, like the Legend packs, where you only get the one player. And then again, you get the guaranteed player. And they've got a smaller, you know, if they've got the, you know, in Ultimate Team, if they've got the weekly legends are Magic Johnson, you know, so the Lakers you get Magic, James Worthy, Shaq, etc. They're going to be the ones that are in the packs. You're not going to end up with a Corey Blount or a Sade, who else on the Lakers back in the 90s. But you're going to get a guaranteed star, basically, in the team's packs. So it's like you say, X, the pack odds, you know, you can put as much... It's glitz and glamour into the menus because there's new menus as well, and that's all great, and the new modes, that's all fantastic to have. But if the pack odds aren't very good, it's a real turn off to the mode. You know, why play it if you, you know, especially if you're spending VC and just to get crap.
Yeah, like, and there's got to be with these fantasy card modes, it's about hooking in people to use it daily. So part of it is daily or weekly challenges. Part of it is pack odds. Part of it's like getting either free packs or even if untradeable packs and things like that. And keeping it fresh and not breaking the mode by having everyone having 99 rated Louis Scola cards, things like that.
Yeah, the overpowered specialty cards that just... Yeah, I see what they're trying to do with it, but it's when they're all 99 overall, it does kind of defeat the purpose. Of course, they have heat check cards this year that will temporarily heat up for 48 hours after a impressive performance in real life, Kenny. That's an interesting approach.
Yeah, I think that could be a good feature, but at the same time, I think it could also be a bit overpowered. Like, It just reminds me of another iteration of like a moments card where like a few years ago, I remember getting excited because I had like an amethyst card, but it ended up being Al-Farouq Aminu, like a playoff card. So yeah.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know. I think it could make a lot of really mediocre players overpowered, particularly if they had like a really good 3-point night or something like that.
Yeah, like I wonder how they actually work out if someone has a good game. Is it stat based? Is it proportion like better than their normal average? Like, is it going to happen automatically based on stats coming through from NBA box scores? I don't know.
It sounds like some of them are automatically generated, from what I can understand. But if there's, I guess there's some criteria of the performance, like a 50-point night or hitting 10 threes or something like that. I guess there's some formula behind it.
It sounds like a nightmare if it's automatically generated. So hopefully there's a bit more like, science to it, I suppose.
It's all in the shoes. We know that.
thank you. On shoes.
That needs to be a YouTube show, X. It's just you opening packs and just getting constant shoes all the time. Just, God damn it, not again! And just every time. It's like, oh, look, diamond shoes. Oh, ruby shoes. What is this, Wizard of Oz? But there you go. There's the name of the show for you, Wizard of X. You just keep getting these ruby shoes. Just
Gold.
a lot to digest. There's also a trailer for the mode, hyping it up, of course. Overall, good news, guys, or, you know, bit of a mixed bag, maybe, for some things. So, I mean, some things remain to be seen, I guess.
Yeah, like, I think it's good, but I think it's given some disappointment, especially from last year and things that would sort of take it away or adjust it. I think it's good, and I think it's a wait and see, but there are some positives. I think the user interface is the thing that most impressed me. Like, it looked a bit more like FIFA's Ultimate Team. So I've obviously taken a look at, they've probably taken a look at Madden Ultimate Team and Live Ultimate Team and FIFA Ultimate Team, all other sports card modes, and worked out what works and what doesn't. So I think the interface, I think, will be probably the biggest improvement in the mode.
And it's welcome, because menus are an area where I guess 2K has had room for improvement this in the last few years.
Oh yeah. I don't know if you with the My Team, especially with the lineups, it was so hard. It wasn't intuitive changing a player from a starting lineup to the bench.
Yeah.
I did notice that. Yeah, they obviously had a. Yeah, like you'd spend, it would take like a minute to sub out your bloody players and swap them around, when it should take a few seconds.
That was another thing I thought Live's interface did a little bit better, that you could just click one button, select the card to switch, and the other one you could just quickly, I think it was X to select it and bring up the menu to go and either add a contract or switch with the collection. And square to just switch them around off the bench and everything. It was a lot quicker in Live, but of course you didn't have the extra lineups that you do in 2K.
Yeah, exactly. But no, but that probably covered everything from my perspective on the My Team blog. But there's definitely some positives in there.
But of course, Kenny, if you don't get John L. Stokes, pre-order cancelled, refund demanded.
Absolutely. But on a more serious note, I think. A lot of positives in that blog, and I'm probably going to get sucked into My Team again in 2K19.
I mean, we said we wouldn't play 2K Pro anymore, but we did. So 500 games worth, or 600 games. So I guess we're suckers for sinking our time into the virtual hardwood, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and these card modes can be very addictive. Like, I've found that with FIFA Ultimate Team, and in the past my team and stuff, they get very addictive, because it's almost got to collect them all and finish collections, and you end up spending more time than maybe you should in that mode at the expense of playing other modes in the game. But I guess that's how the modes are designed, with a bit of gambling and luck and things like that and addiction. But yeah,
oh definitely. And I like the, it kind of feels nostalgic for me, because I collected basketball cards growing up, so it's that whole thing of tearing open the pack and seeing what you get and being inevitably disappointed when you get another John L. Stokes, or I can't remember who I used to get all the time back in the day.
Scott Skiles
was yours.
John Konkak when he was with Hawks.
Konkak, yeah.
Yeah,
probably. I'm thinking the '96 season. I think I got quite a few Greg Grahams actually when he was playing with the 76ers.
That one.
So some good things there, and some things that remain to be seen. But obviously, a lot of work going into My Team this year, and we still have to find out about gameplay. Yes, but also My Career. What's going to happen with that? I am hoping to move away from that this year, because I'm kind of burned out on it. But I suppose we'll find out what happens in the neighborhood this year. And but if nothing else, 2K's for our gripes and everything, the modes are extremely deep these days. It's very commendable that they're doing that.
Yeah. I think the deepness of the modes is kind of what brought me back into 2K as well, why I have pre-ordered it. So I found that as much as I was hyped on NBA Live 18 at the beginning of like the season, I'm not playing it too much anymore, which is kind of strange for me when it comes to 2K, just basketball video games in general, because usually I play them up until the next release, but I stopped playing live months ago. So, yeah, I think it left a little to be desired in that sense.
I actually haven't played live for a few weeks either, and I was enjoying going through Ultimate Team, the last few challenges, the playoff ones that I hadn't done at the time. Actually, recently I went back and played some NBA 2K15 on PC. Admittedly, to get some footage and such for a feature I want to do. But it's funny because I didn't spend a lot of time with 2K15 back in the day, but I quite enjoyed it. Going back to that game felt quite solid.
Yeah, I really enjoyed 2K15. That was the one with Durant on the cover, wasn't it?
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, because I had that on PS3, and yeah, I played that game a lot. So, yeah, it was a very good game.
The spoiler is I needed to get the assets for when you fail at the career mode, and it gives you the option to start career mode over again because you don't latch onto any teams. You really have to go out of your way to fail. Like, it's almost like an Easter egg the way they put it up. Like,
oh, that's right. Next Gen had that story where you were an absolute jerk, didn't it?
That's the one. Yeah. Yeah,
because PS3 didn't have that, so I missed out on that whole experience.
I'll have to upload the video for you. You have to intentionally sabotage yourself, basically, to not latch on with a team. It's really hard to fail, which is good. I mean, they want people to get into the game and not lose it that quickly. But yeah, it's almost like an Easter egg that you have to force yourself to throw up shot during the tryouts with teams. You've got to be, I'm just putting up shots from half court constantly and jumping all over the place to get bad blocking attempt and all that stuff just to get a low grade, because it's very hard to fail. But it's when you do, you get a game over screen in my career. So it's pretty funny.
Wow. Did you see any interesting voiceover moments with professionals, that one guy had with DeMarcus Cousins, or Dion Waiters apparently was a really funny one in that game.
I got through on the Wizards because I was finding out exactly where you can fail. Once you get to the NBA, you can fail. You can get not picked up after your first 10-day contract, and then you latch on with another team. And my pro for the Wizards was Bradley Beal. He didn't do too bad of a job, but I need to see if I can latch on with the Kings just so they can get DeMarcus Cousins.
What was it, the Pelicans for Eric Gordon?
Eric
was
Gordon,
he on the
yeah.
Pelicans back
yes,
then?
Yes,
Eric Gordon. He did such a great job.
Yeah, those scenes, yeah. They've kind of backed away from that a little bit. But 20 takes, and that was the best one. So the other news that's come out this week, just to wrap up with some lighter news, I guess, not really a huge deal when it comes to games, but it's newsworthy, I suppose, and worth talking about, is the NBA 2K19 soundtrack has been revealed. It is on Spotify if you want to have a listen to that ahead of time. It's been curated by Travis Scott this year, who had a great quote in Latin, at least in the original screenshot that they put up there with the with all the track listings. Obviously a placeholder got out there in place of that, but it's been fixed now. The whole soundtrack is on Spotify. Is about 47, 48 songs. I won't read them all out, but I look at this, Kenny. Obviously, no Santigold creator, which is disappointing for all of us. But I look at that and realize how old I am, how out of touch with the music scene I am. And I know you're a bit more in touch with music. Anything there stand out to you, or am I just the lone old man here?
No, nothing really stands out to me, honestly. I look at this playlist and there's no Cult of Personality or Blitzkrieg Bop or even Pour Some Sugar on Me or something like that. There always seems to be that one song to kind of appeal to, I guess, us dinosaurs out there. But I just don't see that song on that playlist. And what I find interesting about it the most is that there's not a single Drake song, and he had, I think, Scorpion was the most streamed album on its first day in the history of streaming. I don't know whether that was the exact metric or whatever, but that album went gangbusters, and I'm kind of surprised not to see any songs from it on there. So I guess that's my takeaway from that.
So you're saying when it comes to Drake being on the 2K soundtrack, it's over?
It's far from over, but
DLC.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the live 19 one as well, and I think it's I think it's better just in general. I think, you know, aside from having one of my favorite tracks of the year on it, which is I Like It by Cardi B, there seems to be a lot more name recognition on it for me anyway, like as far as my own personal taste is concerned. So
I'm just seeing there's a song in there called Hack My Instagram. That's where we're at these days. Yes, quite a few Travis Scott songs on there, at least two or three that I can see.
Is that going to be the new We the Boys? Is that what that song's called? We Dem Boys. That's the one.
Yeah.
Lyrical genius that is Wiz Khalifa. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot else to say about the soundtrack.
No worries. So. I know X is very excited about the songs. He's
clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like every year, like I hope there's one song like a Fort Minor or like your basketball from 2K12.
Curtis Blow, or,
yeah. Yeah, like it's just one song that hooks and is catchy and thing. That's all I'm asking for. But it really depends, because I've got the one person they always get to curate. It depends on the person's personal taste and how wide their musical tastes are. And so we'll see. Like honestly, I don't listen too much unless there's I only pay attention if something good comes on. So it doesn't bother me.
I'm the same. It kind of fades into the background, which it should. Basically, it shouldn't really bother you either way. I kind of miss, and again showing my age here, those jazzy tracks from the early from the mid '90s of like Live 96, 97. Those sort of jazz and funky kind of tracks that. I certainly feel nostalgic for them. I don't know how well they do these days, because you kind of have to have that. You've got to be trendy and have the latest artists and everything, whether it's Live or 2K. So. I like those instrumentals. They were good back in the day.
I just picked something up from the soundtrack. There's one track called Mo Bamba. Is that about Muhammad Bamba by any chance?
I assume so.
I would have thought so, yeah.
Huh. Because I looked at it and I thought, oh, wow, Mo Bamba's actually got a song on here. Like, you know, Ron Artest did, you know, a few years ago, but it's actually the name of the song.
It's the title, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. That one might be worth listening to, actually. So we'll see.
See how it stacks up against Champions by Ron Artest.
I still think Stress might be the worst song that we've ever had in the soundtrack. That really did make me feel stressed, that song. So it achieved its name. So that's something.
What soundtrack was that one on?
I want to say 13.
2K13. Oh, okay. Oh, I did own 13, so I'll have to check that out, see if I remember it. But yes, hopefully
you'll recognize it when you hear it. It's very distinctive.
Fair enough.
So that's basically it for the basketball gaming news this week. We will, of course, be back next week with you to talk about more of what's coming out. That depends on what news is released, of course, and we are still setting up our interviews and whatnot with EA. Just before we wrap up the show, I wanted to touch on a recent story with the WNBA. We could also mention the NBL is looking to add a new team, and Newcastle is on the list. If people want to go to nbl.com.au and vote for that, get my hometown a team again. But apart from that, in the WNBA, we actually had a team had to forfeit, guys. The Las Vegas Aces had some problems with travel. There was flight delays and cancellations, 26 hours of travel to end up getting to Washington from Las Vegas. Because of all those problems they had, by the time the team reached his hotel, it was already 3:45 in the afternoon, about 4 hours before tip-off. They said they couldn't, basically couldn't go on, health and safety. They were just too tired from all the travel and all the runaround and everything. And they actually had to forfeit the game, Kenny, first time in WNBA history. And it was kind of a shame, and shows that they WNBA is still kind of treated as second-class citizens as far as being able to have to fly commercial and not be given this given really much leeway as far as being able to reschedule a game or anything.
It is a shame, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad that they ended up calling it off, because it sounded like an absolutely like nightmarish circumstance. We all hate delayed flights at the best of times, but you know, taking what was it, 26 hours to get to just the other side of America?
That's
insane. Yeah,
it's quicker. Quicker to get from Australia to America, basically.
Yeah, I mean, half the time. My last flight to Los Angeles was only 13 hours. So that's crazy. And I think Los Angeles to New York is only about 5. So, yeah, there was some crazy stuff going on for it to be 26.
I guess the problem is that WNBA wouldn't reschedule. That it ended up being a forfeit for them, which was tough because they're in the playoff race. And I think actually, with the Dallas Wings have just been able to clinch that playoff spot because, and in part because of that forfeit X. So it is kind of a shame that it came down to that in the middle of a run at the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm surprised they, given they were going for a playoff spot, that they would have forfeited, because it looks like from what I'm reading, they had a choice. But I guess if you've been delayed for 26 hours and probably haven't slept so much, they probably just didn't care. Like, because they had a choice whether they wanted to play, and they just said they didn't want to play. So that's why there was a forfeit. But it's very unusual, and I don't think we'll see it too often. But it's, given they're on commercial, there's always that chance that will happen in future, and I'm surprised that they didn't at least try and reschedule
or even be able to charter a flight. It's not like there isn't money with the NBA also owning the WNBA, that somebody could have stepped in and perhaps done that. I mean, it is a shame they couldn't have done that.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if it actually made a difference to the playoff spot, because I saw that, yeah, as you said, Dallas locked up the last playoff spot, so I don't know the actual ladder, but yeah, it's definitely...
Liz Cambridge having a hell of a season.
Yeah, so this talk, she might get MVP. She had like 43 points today in the clincher, so she's had a few big games, so she might end up joining other great Australian women winning WNBA MVP awards.
Did Lauren Jackson get that in the?
I believe so. Kenny might be able to confirm. I'm sure she got at least one MVP.
At the very least, I'm pretty sure she got a finals MVP. I'll have to do a quick confirmation on that, though. But she won an MVP of some sort. no, not just one. She won four of them. So,
oh, really?
Four WNBL. Oh, WNBL. Sorry.
Okay.
So she only won three WNBA MVPs. So she did 2003, 2007, 2010. So, yeah.
Two-time champion.
Lauren Jackson. Very accomplished.
Three-time scoring champion, one-time WNBA Finals MVP, rebounding Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, certainly one of our most accomplished international exports.
Yeah, and I think if Cambridge does end up winning MVP, she might usurp her mate Bogut as a more successful internationally.
He'll be quick to congratulate her on Twitter. No love lost between the two Australian centres there. So that pretty much brings us to the end of episode number 259 of the NLSC podcast. As always, we thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed us talking about our favourite subjects, basketball, video games, a little bit of real basketball as well. If you did enjoy the show, we encourage you to tune in each and every week. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes and also other podcatching apps such as Stitcher. Just search for NLSC podcast, or follow the links in the news post and forum, and subscribe as you wish, or keep streaming on the NLSC as long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show. That is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. We're on Instagram, NLSC basketball. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that is all for this week. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Kenny.
And I am the X.
And we're out like so many screenshots.